first reading today is a psalm, Psalm 111. It says there, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds, and the Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." Our gospel reading comes to us from Mark chapter 1, beginning in the 21st verse. "They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you done with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, clear the fog. Clear the drizzle and the dreariness, the clouds that keep our hearts from most fully being able to embrace you and see you and feel you and know you. O Lord, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us through your holy word this day, that we might not just come here to gain knowledge, but to gain wisdom. Wisdom that can only come from you. Wisdom that inspires and transforms. Oh God, I pray that you would use me as your instrument to convey your message to your people this day. In Christ's name, amen. In a broad interview, Jennifer Garner was asked about the price of being a famous actor. She shared that at the height of her fame, there were as many as 15 to 20 cars outside of her home at any given moment, waiting to get photographs of her and her family. She would try to take one of her sick children to the pediatrician, and the photographers would refuse to move out of the way so that she could get her child into the facility to be seen and taken care of. A photograph of an actor doing a perfectly normal thing was just too valuable of a commodity for supermarket tabloids. Her children were being traumatized. There was no law at the time to protect children from photographers lying in wait to swarm them and take their picture when they left school, when they were at a soccer game. They were fussing at each other, trying to get in the right position for the perfect picture, chasing them in cars, running red lights with no consideration given to how they were endangering others. The cameras looked like guns to the children. Garner went on to recount a conversation she recently had with a colleague. The colleague said, "There's zero good about being famous. If I could go back, there's zero good about being famous." And Garner replied, "Well, first of all, that's not true. For a million reasons. You have to find out what's going to balance the equation for you. Who would decide to be followed around every minute of every day? But I do get to have access to people's homes and people's lives, and I do get to meet people I never thought I'd meet. You'd have to decide what's going to make it okay for you. This fame, being famous." She went on to outline the charitable causes she has been able to bring attention to simply because she is involved. That's what balances the equation for her. Fame costs, but it also offers the opportunity to shine light in the darkness if one is a willing instrument. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus is at the beginning of his public ministry. He journeys to Capernaum. In 1968, Stanislaw Lafreda began excavating at the site of the Byzantine church in Capernaum. He found that the church had been built on top of a house from the first century. About 50 years after Jesus' resurrection, the house was renovated and turned into a house church. Graffiti from the 3rd and 4th centuries was found that displayed the significance this site had to the early church. Christians would actually go on pilgrimages to this site. There is historical documentation that supports the claim that this church is built on top of the house of Peter. That's where all of these people were on a pilgrimage too. Yes, that Peter, one of Jesus' first disciples on which Jesus claims he will build his church. You can go to that site today and you can feel the power of it. I've been there. Just how important it was to the early church. You can feel the scriptures that were taught there, the stories that were shared, the memories that were made amongst Jesus and his disciples on forward through the generations. At this site, along the Sea of Galilee, in Capernaum, Jesus' fame began to spread. It spread so much and so powerfully that here we are in this moment sharing these recorded events that took place there and of how Jesus entered the synagogue nearby and began to preach from the scripture. There was just something about him, the way that he shared the word of God. People knew that he wasn't just sharing some text, like it was a piece of literature, but he was sharing it with authority. He spoke as if God were speaking to the people. There was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit who cried out to Jesus, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Evil was in the room. I mean, the air must have been different in that room just because this man with the unclean spirit was in it. I imagine the tension between light and darkness was palpable in that moment. What's interesting, what's ironic, is that the demons inside the man recognize who Jesus is. But the pious men surrounding Jesus in that room have no clue that they are seeing God made flesh. They are staring God in the face. What's also interesting is that the demons wonder aloud if Jesus is there to destroy them. Yet, they don't run away from him. They move towards him. Even the demons, even this unclean spirit is attracted to Jesus. They, like the fishermen, are so attracted to Jesus, they just can't help themselves. And Jesus responds, well, the New Revised Standard Version that I just read to you from puts it rather politely. It translates it, be silent and come out of him. Be silent in the Greek is phimothedi, which can more accurately be translated, shut up. Or as Joel Marcus puts it, shut your trap. Shut up and come out of him. Everything in Mark, it happens immediately and in a hurry. Jesus doesn't have time for this nonsense. The unclean spirit leaves the man. Everyone present is amazed. They begin to speak amongst themselves. Who is this guy? How did he do that? What's this new teaching? He teaches with such authority. Even the unclean spirits obey him. And the passage ends, at once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. You know, we like to hear that we matter. I like to hear it, don't you? In fact, we need to hear it. There's so much noise in this world that tries to make us feel inferior, not good enough. But we have this need to be right, to be heard, to be valued, to be seen, to be appreciated, to be powerful and viewed as being some sort of authority. Each in our own way, if you think about it, we seek fame. Maybe not on a movie screen, maybe not on television, maybe we'll never be chased around by the paparazzi. But we like to be important for others to recognize that about us on some level. But what if, when we have the attention of others, we choose to make Jesus the focus? Jesus' teaching, Jesus' way, Jesus' sacrifice. What if we give Jesus all the glory? What if we live lives that are so attractive, not so that they draw others, not so that our lives draw others to us, but so that they draw others to Jesus, that his fame might continue to spread to those around us? In the words of James Howell, instead of a church where nice people do nice things, or we drop off a few canned goods, which even the pagans do, maybe we astound them. I wonder what that might look like for you. How might you astound people by the way you live your life? How might you spread Jesus' fame? On a far grander and more significant scale than the experience of Jennifer Garner, Jesus' fame will cost him. It will cost him everything. But how you are healed and made whole by his sacrifice, how you live a life transformed by your belief that Jesus is the ultimate authority, that he is the Son of God, that is what balances the equation and makes it okay for Jesus. All that fame, it's you. That is what makes the sacrifice worth it. That's what makes the journey to the cross and all of that pain, that's what makes it worth it, you. And it is my hope and my prayer that you might look for some way, big or small, each day to help Jesus gain even more fame. Fame for all the right reasons instead of the wrong ones. Amen.